This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's a feel-good football Friday, a feel-good Yankees Friday as they move on to the ALCS and await the winner. It's, yes, amazingly, the Detroit Tigers and the Cleveland Guardians. The Guardians have been in the postseason many times, but the fact that the Tigers could be their opponent from where they came from last year. Yeah, it is an easy path. I mean, the Kansas City Royals lost like 100 games last year and then came back and had a decent year this year, got into the postseason. The Tigers were a 500 team at Labor Day and then went on this incredible run to get into the postseason. The Yankees are built for championship baseball, and whoever comes out of that series, they will be favored and they should win.
You know, the short series, the 2 out of 3, then the 3 out of 5, those are the series that really scare you. To me, the 4 out of 7 series, this is where the best team wins the series.
Should.
And, yeah. And you know, you're the best team, you have the best, the best setup, you're playing the best. And I could make an argument that the Mets have been playing the best baseball for the last 6 weeks. I mean, it's been exciting baseball for sure. They've had their injuries to deal with. But, you know, with Senga now back in the mix in some way, shape, or form, like I say, he's going to go out there and throw you 6 shutout innings. But they have him. They have Peterson. They have Quintana. They have Severino. They have Manaea. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, wow, look at this pitching staff.
Yeah.
Remember when the season started? We all wondered what the pitching staff was going to look like.
And right now, I think I might take theirs over anybody's, which is crazy.
The way they have
pitched, I might take them over everybody else in that's remaining in the playoffs.
For me, I think I've said this a number of times, like two guys that really just have stuck out with their performances this year, given what maybe the expectations were when the season first started, have to be Mark Vientos and David Peterson. Have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, Lindor's doing what he's supposed to do. He's being a star. He's acting like a star. He's acting like a leader. He seems to be genuinely happy.
Yeah.
And his performance is speaking to all of that. And there's a lot of love coming from the fans. And it just goes to show every New York athlete that is playing right now, you do what Jalen Brunson did. You do what Francisco Lindor is doing. You do what Giancarlo Stanton's doing right now. You know what? You will be beloved by your fan base, and your fan base will show you that love when you come home and you play in front of them.
Yeah, and I also think you can never forget when you're talking about guys coming out of nowhere and being huge factors for this team you weren't expecting, is Jose Iglesias has got to be number one at the top of that list. But I mean, there are, and we've talked about this, it's sort of like a lame sports talk topic, but it's very true, is like there's certain levels to the athlete, and there's the ones that are in like the premium, elite, platinum level, the ones that delivered the championships.
That's the Walt Frazier, Derek Jeters of the world.
Mark Messier,
yeah. Right. Those guys are on a different plane, for sure.
Right. So, and then there's a whole host of really great ones. You know, guys like
Patrick Ewing,
Mike Piazza, Don Mattingly. You know, there are those. But, you know, there's an opportunity for someone like Francisco Lindor and someone like Aaron Judge to get into that super platinum area by winning a championship this year. So there's nothing like it for those guys. They become immortal in this town once they do that.
That's right. And, you know, Joe Namath has been doing that since 1969.
Yeah.
And God bless him for it. And I know, as a former Jet quarterback myself, you know, we ended up playing in the shadow of that. You know, it's always referred back to because there hasn't been really much to speak of since then. I mean, there have been some runs and some good teams and some good players, but, you know, that guy, that person, that personality is going to be revered for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and that is, I mean, that's one of the great wins in professional sports outside of, I mean, even in New York, yes, but just like the overall landscape of pro sports in the last 100 years, that one is up there, how special that is. So, yeah, I mean, we are very, very close to having another one of those because of the way that the teams are playing, and you've got both the Yankees and the Mets in the Final Four. We are sitting here, like, sometimes because you live it every day, you got to remind yourself
yes.
that the Mets and the Yankees are waiting on their opponents for the ALCS and the NLCS.
Crazy.
It's like,
absolutely crazy.
Just take a minute and just let that soak in. And it's a Friday in October.
And it's a feel-good Friday, regardless of who may be a little bit grumpy.
Grumpy.
Yeah, I don't think so, but I just want to say this. I expected the Yankees to be here.
Yeah, oh, sure.
All right? I mean, the Mets, not so much, but the Yankees, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go to Jay in Miller Place. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller. Appreciate you taking the call today. Just wanted to talk about the Yankees. Diehard Yankee fan. Just wanted to talk about the Yankees a little bit and their run here. Clay Holmes, who would have thought the guy would have came back after getting booted from the closer role? So just, you know, really appreciate you guys. I really appreciate any thoughts you have on the Yankees, the pitching staff, kind of, you know, with the expectations going into the season.
Yeah, I mean, it is right now, the bullpen is a major strength for them. And I never thought I'd be saying that. In the middle of the season, it was their biggest weakness. And now it's one of their biggest strengths. And the way that Weaver is pitching, you have to be absolutely confident every time he takes a mound. Clay Holmes now being, you know, prior to that eighth inning coming in, it's almost like that role was more suited for him. So, yeah, you love the bullpen. I don't love the rotation. And that's where you're going to need to see more than three runs from the Yankees in some of these other starts. It would be great if Carlos Rodon just all of a sudden turned into the guy that the Yankees paid hundreds of millions of dollars to. But you don't really expect that. But as far as the bullpen goes, yes, and that's huge. Obviously, you know, there hasn't been a team that's won a World Series with a bad bullpen.
You know who's been buried has been Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, it's a shame, really.
I mean, he's been buried. So I don't know if this changes with a potential 7-game series. I don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to set it up, but I think, you know, we kind of know who the first three guys are going to be, and we know what the bullpen's going to be. But if you need a fourth guy, who's the fourth guy going to be?
Well, it's him. Yeah.
Or is it Luis Gil?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's options there. The heel thing, man, he, like, both of those guys, what I like to look for in a postseason pitcher, Boomer,
yeah,
is blow-up potential.
Okay, are you looking, you're not looking at analytics and matchups?
It's blow-up potential for me. Like who's the guy who's got the least amount of blow-up potential? and both of those guys.
You know how the Mets have used Peterson and now what I love is Carlos Mendoza and the Mets using Kodai Senga in some role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a pretty cool thing. Like, it's all of a sudden, like, the Mets, maybe with the exception of Jeff McNeil, are pretty much healthy at every spot, and that's what you want. You want everybody healthy, everybody performing. But, you know, I still say, and I still worry, even though he did his job the other night, is the Edwin Diaz, you know, yeah. That's the wild card for me, because if we're going to go on and we're going to go and win, he's going to have to be a huge part of it, and he's going to have to. I'm just trying to think. If they do make it to the World Series, how many times do you think he is going to be on the mound? And let's say they go 14 more games.
Listen, man, it's going to be a lot, and he would have to, unfortunately, to not see him. He would have to have multiple blow-ups and multiple blown saves, because Carlos Mendoza has the absolute trust in him to go to him in the biggest moments, and we don't. And that's the only thing that I will criticize with Carlos Mendoza, and I'm not even going to call it a criticism, I'm going to call it a disagreement, is that he looks at Edwin Diaz like the 2022 Edwin Diaz, and I know Mendoza wasn't here that year, but that's the guy he thinks is coming out of the bullpen.
Well,
it's not.
I have to say, after walking the first two guys the other night, he started to get the pitch over. And somebody had said to him, look, they can't hit your fastball. Just throw it.
Yeah.
And he was throwing it, and he got it up to 101 mile an hour, and it was moving. You know, when he's at his best, just like when Mariano was at his best, and that ball, the great thing about Mariano is he was so incredibly consistent because he could saw off the bat of a left-hander pretty much every time he came out there to pitch. And that cutter was always on the inside black at the plate, and those guys had a swing at it.
Yeah.
And they hate swinging at pitches in there. The only time he ever got in trouble is when those pitches would move out over the plate. This is kind of the same thing, I feel like, when I'm watching Diaz. When his balls are moving away from that left-handed hitter like it was for Schwarber, 98 miles an hour, the ball's straight, and all of a sudden at the last moment, it just kind of drops like an inch.
Yeah, it just moves. It moves away from the batter too. It's down and away right at the end.
And that pitch also goes high and in on the right-handed batter.
Yeah, but he's not Mariano Rivera. He's Armando Benitez. You know, I mean that's the problem.
He's somewhere in between because he's had a great year.
Listen,
and say what you want. The other night he came out and he did it. He did it like his way with putting guys on base. But you know, a lot of closers are that way. And when he is on the mound, he doesn't really give a crap about who's on base and what they're doing. So he usually gives up a base or two.
Let's go to Frank at Baldwin. What's going on, Frank?
Hello, guys. Good morning. Let's go, Mets. How you doing today?
All right, Frankie, what's happening today?
All right. Well, I was just thinking about, you know, when Jeff McNeil, if he didn't get hurt, OMG doesn't happen. And the Mets don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, you're right. And I got to be honest with you, when I saw him come back and he was in the dugout, and I know his wife they just had a child. I was like, get him out of here. I honestly looked at him like, you haven't been a part of this thing. Like, I look at you as sort of a negative clubhouse guy. Like, but you're right. Yes, I mean, that was a huge change, not only from a production standpoint, but a clubhouse standpoint. I mean, everybody talked about how Jeff McNeil was a guy that was insufferable in the clubhouse when he wasn't hitting. And he was just this he was bitching and moaning and bah, and you saw it on his face all the time. And him and Lindor couldn't get along with each other. There was that choking situation and everything else. And then Iglesias comes in, who's a 180 from that, who is everything positive about the game of baseball, brings a theme song along, hits 337, and plays second base like he's got the hands of Ozzie Smith.
You know, so that's a David Stearns deal.
Yeah.
That's knowing players. That's knowing what players are going to fit within your dugout, your locker room. And, you know, they weren't expecting Iglesias to play as much as he's had to play. I mean, this was going to be a glue guy and was going to be a late-inning defensive guy that's going to come off the bench or maybe a, you know, spot start here and there. And now he's become an integral part of the Mets' success. Look, let me just tell you something. Jeff McNeil's a part of the family. He's a part of the family. Whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, you like it or not, he's going to be there. He's a part of that
team. He's on the roster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's a part of that team.
Yeah.
And if he can't go, he can't go. But like I was telling you yesterday, supposedly the Mets, you know, have petitioned Major League Baseball to allow him to play fall ball to go get some live batting practice to see whether or not they can actually add him to one of these rosters.
Let's go to Joe in Florida. What's going on?
Just in case.
Right. Joe, what's going on? Good morning.
Yeah, hi, guys. Hey, look, I'm 89 years old. I'm sitting here in Florida, and I've been a Mets fan my entire life. In fact, I remember going to the Mets paying 60 cents to sit in the bleachers with my grandfather. And every time the Mets win this year, I feel they're doing it for me. My entire family, every time they hit a home run, they say, Grandpa, they're doing it for me. And I think this is the most emotional week and I've ever had. I'm just so excited. It's really incredible.
Well, thank you, Joe. What part of Florida are you in? And did you come through both hurricanes okay?
Oh, yeah. I'm in Weston. It's fine down here. We were very lucky. But I remember going to a game and seeing Willie Mays with the Giants before the Mets even created. And my life has been wonderful because of baseball.
Oh.
And it's a great thing.
And this is what happens when teams play well. You get stories like this. And you're in good health right now, Joe. You're going to be with us for the rest of the run?
Are you kidding? Are you kidding? I'm in great health.
Good.
That's what we like to hear.
Joe, the only reason I asked that is because the way Al put this up on the screen where it says the Mets are doing it for me in my final years.
I'm 89 and I only have 10 or 15 years left, so I figure, you know, they're doing it for me.
Hey, 10 or 15 love years. That, how about Joe. 20 years? Why not make it a 20 years?
Keep it rolling, Joe. Awesome. I'm really glad you called today.
I love listening to you guys every morning. I can't miss it.
Well, thanks, Joe, and I really appreciate you calling today, and hopefully we got a lot more special moments ahead of us.
Go Mets.
All right, let's go Mets. See, it's what happens when you get a team like this.
I know Eddie had his fingers on the buttons over there.
He still does, that Joe has hung up, by the way.
As time goes on, we're forgotten.
Oh.
He's just...
I mean, he just once not do that. Just once.
I mean, I'm sure he could have gone way worse than.
Well, I yelled.
You've lived, you've loved, you're gone. It's over.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Football Friday and a Feel Good Yankees Friday. It's such a Feel Good Yankees Friday that we're giving away ALCS tickets again, and it's next hour. But this hour, right now, we will give you the John Sterling drop. Do not call this hour. You just hear the drop and you file it away. And then next hour, when you hear the drop, you call 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 and be caller number 7. So the drop that you're listening for next hour is...
I love the nightlife and I like to boogie.
I love the nightlife and I love...
I love the nightlife, and I like to boogie.
All right, nice. So when you hear that next hour, not this hour, next hour, call 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326, and you have to be caller number 7. We're also giving away this hour Giants-Bengals tickets for Sunday Night Football.
Hmm.
So stay tuned for that. I know this is a lot of stuff we're throwing at you, but it's that time of year, man, and we are chock full of good stuff. All right, Jerry, what's going on over there?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Flag and Anthem, real close for real life. And the Yankees wrapping things up last night with the Royals.
Here's the 2-1. Line base hit right field. Verdugo scores. Birdie goes to third. And the Yankees take a 2-0 lead.
Now on their way to a 3-1 win, John Sterling with the call right here on the Fan. Gleyber Torres, the RBI single there, also led the game off with a double and scored on a Soto RBI single.
Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber Torres,
Man, he's had quite the season, hasn't he?
He's had a good series, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's had quite the season.
He's had an interesting season.
Yes.
An interesting season.
What do you think? You think they change at second base next year?
I don't know. I'd re-sign him, but I think Yankee fans don't have had enough of him.
I don't know why. He's productive in October.
Yeah, I know they had enough of him through the season.
Yeah, it's one of these things we, much like with Pete Alonso, let's see how the rest of the playoffs go.
You can certainly make that case. Aaron Judge doubled and scored on a Stanton RBI single in the sixth. And then there was the pitching. It was outstanding. And that's why Gerrit Cole is our thriving player of the game.
As Bell batters box, it'll be an 0-2. Pham, a short leadoff first, and the pitch struck him out swinging on another breaking ball down. So, Cole has been fabulous tonight.
And that is our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by ThriveWell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThriveWellInfusion.com. Here was Cole talking about advancing past that team. That was some accomplishment.
I got to be honest with you. The Royals are a damn good ball club. That was a really tough series.
Damn good. That's right. Here was Soto. Says pretty cool, making the ALCS.
It sounds really good. I think we did a really good job. They have a really good team, and coming through these games, and as tired as it was, it's a good feeling to get the win.
After it was Cole on the mound for 7, you got Clay Holmes in the 8th, and Luke Weaver closed it out. He was on Yes with Meredith, asked what he thought about when the fly ball was caught for that final out.
I don't think I actually saw it, to be honest. I put a lot of trust in him. I think I yelled a little too early, to be honest. For whatever reason, tripped or something, I would have looked really bad. But just a lot of adrenaline out there, a lot of emotion.
Big balloon fest. Hey, take a look at this Giancarlo Stanton come running out of that dugout. See, he can run.
Yeah, man. Little pep in the step.
But he's kind of staying on the outside. Like, he's not really getting in there. And when the team is all jumping up together, he's very careful.
You don't want to pull a Diaz.
He doesn't want to pop something.
That's right. Here was Jazz Chisholm. He says, the team is letting me be me, and it's really working out for me.
The guys definitely brought it out of me. They always came to me, and they're like, bro, we love the things you do. Be yourself and keep going out there and being hard for us, man. And I know a lot of them don't do it, and they love that I do it for them, so it's amazing.
What is this that he's doing?
I guess just being all fun and crazy and wild.
Is he their version of Jesse Winker?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe that is the case. And then there's Aaron Judge. How about the fact that you and the Mets are in the league championship series in your respective leagues?
It's going to be exciting. You know, the Mets have had an incredible season. You know, I know they didn't start off the way they wanted to, but they got a great manager over there in Carlos Mendoza who, you know, I've had a chance to be around for quite a few years in the Yankees organization, man. You know, what a leader. What a guy that, you know, prepares his team. You know, even when he was here as our bench coach, he prepared his guys, prepared the infield, prepared everybody to go out there and compete on a daily basis.
I see what he's doing now. I see what he's doing. He's basically saying it's taken a Yankee to get the Mets to where they are. Essentially, that's what he's saying.
All right.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
If the Mets come up short, go get Soto. Take a Yankee to get to where you got to go. So what?
Okay. Just
get there.
Okay.
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 Okay. Okay.
I see what he's saying.
All right. So, game one of the ALCS will be Monday. The Yankees will take on either Detroit or Cleveland. David Fry hit that go-ahead home run yesterday as the Guardians won in Detroit. His thoughts?
You dream about it as a kid and think about it all the time and in the offseason when you're working on stuff. And then it happens and it goes by real quick. I remember looking at the dugout and high-fiving Sandy and then just black out. And then you're in the dugout cheering with the boys. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And so while that
just
series...
hanging out with the boys. Everybody's hanging out with the boys. Yeah. Having an IPA with the boys.
With the boys.
Call this guy with the right. boys.
Let me get in there and celebrate with the boys.
That's me, man. Every morning, I'm with the boys.
With the boys.
With the boys.
With the Nops.
Celebrating. That is very true. And then you've got the National League Game 5 tonight between the Padres and Dodgers in L.A. The Mets get the winner of that in the NLCS. You've got Yu Darvish and Yoshinobu Yamamoto on the mound there. Jets interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich naming Todd Downing the offensive play caller. The Jets play the Bills Monday night. Here was Aaron Rodgers. He did speak yesterday, as did Sauce Gardner and a bunch of other guys. Rodgers says we could have had a much better record, and you know what? Rob Saleh could still be here.
Just as in life, there's opportunities and choices and parallel universes with each choice you make or didn't make, and the same thing with this business. You know, you make this throw, make that throw. You're sitting at 4-1. This isn't we're not here right now.
So in a parallel universe, Rob Saleh is leading the Jets to a 4-13 season. That what's going on?
Or they're 4-1 in a parallel universe right now, and he's still the head coach.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a parallel universe with every choice you make or don't make.
There'd be a lot of universes. Yeah,
there are theories that support that. Yeah. That every single choice that every one of us makes.
Who's my wife in the other universe?
Dua Lipa. Yes, in one universe out there, you are banging Dua Lipa.
No. All right.
Yeah, no. If you subscribe to that theory.
Right, it's a theory.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. A multiverse.
A multiverse.
Infinite multiverse.
Separate set of playoffs for that universe.
Oh, yeah.
The Jets are absolutely. They're actually four-time back-to-back-to-back Super Bowl champions. Okay.
Are you as involved with yarn in these other universes?
In some, yes. In some, no. Anything is possible.
Right. Imagine another one of these universes. Al's got, like, he's fostering 15 dogs at a time. He's got
I thought you were going to say kids.
No, he's got 8 kids, like Rob Saleh.
I want to go to that universe and see it.
Oh, I know.
They make it all worth it.
The days are long, but the years are short.
Here was one more from Rodgers. How did you find out about Saleh being let go?
It's like a scene out of John Wick when he becomes excommunicado and everybody at the Continental gets a buzz on their phone. I think I said this on McAfee yesterday, but that's literally how it was.
I guess he got a text. Is that what that means? Yeah. I'm not even sure. Sauce Gardner, how did you find out?
Oh, my agent had texted me. He was like, what you think about the news?
because I deleted social media. I deleted Twitter off my phone. It just be so negative. Obviously, just the stuff y'all seen with Breeze and all of that stuff that I responded to. So I just had to get rid of it. And then I just typed in Jets on Google, and, like, that's all I could see.
But that was kind of funny.
Man, how many times has anybody typed in Jets on Google and positive stuff has come up?
Not often.
Yeah.
That is for sure. Anyhow, so Jets Bills on Monday night. The agency representing Hassan Reddick has left him. So they have parted ways.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and like you said that correctly. The agents.
Yes, he did. Right.
Made the decision. Mm-hmm. He didn't fire his agents, the agents dropped him. Because they are vehemently against his holdout and think that it's stupid. So,
and the whole time, I really thought that they were the ones telling him to do this.
No, they were the ones in the beginning, I think, that said, yeah, well, okay, we're good with the trade. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, and I think Joe Douglas probably said, look, we'll talk during the season. We'll see how he plays and see what he looks like. And we'll go from there. But right now, we want to pay him this amount of money to play football for us. And is he okay with that? And they got assurances that he was.
Well, right now, he's not making any money.
Yeah.
And he's losing money every day. Niners, Seahawks, Thursday night football, and a win for San Francisco.
Three receivers to the right of the line. Single wide left. Now Jennings motioning. Right to left and back to the right. Shotgun snap to Purdy. Purdy pats the football. Throws to the right side for the end zone. Oh. It's caught by George Kittle, and he drags his toe across the line for the touchdown.
That was Kevin Kugler on Westwood One. One of two touchdowns on the night for Kittle, who had five catches for 58 yards. San Francisco wins 36-24. Purdy throws for 255, three scores. Here he was specifically talking about the connection with Kittle.
Comes down to that component of trust, man. That's both of them. Both touchdowns were just a trust factor. So something that we've continued to grow at, you know, throughout the offseason and throughout the games that we've played together. And then tonight it showed really well. So another, we're proud of them.
Another Thursday night, another bunch of injuries. A lot of guys limping off the field last night. And a lot of big plays, special teams, offense, huge plays.
Deebo Samuel, a 76-yard touchdown catch.
You had a kickoff return in this game. You had a long run from scrimmage in this game by the 49ers. And then you had the Deebo Samuel play. Yep.
The league investigating George Pickens' eye black that had the message always bleeping open. Here was Pickens with the media yesterday. Were you aware that that's not allowed, meaning messaging on the eye black?
Never seen it before. Have you seen it before?
You came got fined like some years ago from this guy.
Years ago? When I wasn't in the league, so nah.
Throwing your helmet on the sideline, is that something that is part of being a competitor, or did you regret that? Do you not want to do that anymore?
Nah, you know when it's third down and you don't convert. A lot of fans are mad as well.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I watched a lot of that interview yesterday.
Strange, dude.
He came across horribly.
Do you remember that guys used to wear the eye block that had 316 on it?
Yeah, John 316.
Yeah, Tim Tebow?
He did it. He was one of them, yeah.
I remember that. And I also remember them saying no outwardly suggestive messaging in any way, shape, or form.
So it's been a thing for a long time, is what you're saying.
Yes.
The Utah Hockey Club beat the Islanders in their season opener in overtime 5-4. Devils lose to the Maple Leafs 4-2. And the Lynx beat the Liberty 95-93. Game one, WNBA Finals.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on a feel-good football Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Before we get to these calls, just a quick note about Lieutenant Dan down in Tampa, Florida. So I, like millions of others, got wrapped up in this story about this one-legged man who was not leaving Tampa during Hurricane Helene and then Hurricane Milton, and he became this character that everybody loved, and nobody knew his real name. It was just Lieutenant Dan, and hey, I'm going to stay here, and God told me to get a sailboat, and I got a sailboat, and I'm down here, and I'm not leaving. I'm going to be fine. He just had this, you know, general disposition about him that people wanted to know if he was okay. It even got so far to the mayor of Tampa saying, I know, she was like laughing through it, and even Lieutenant Dan. We were able to get Lieutenant Dan off his boat and get him into a shelter. That wasn't true, but this story had even reached the mayor's office, and she referenced it during a press conference. Well, somebody smart enough
gets his real name. When they look into who he is, and Joe Malinowski was his name, they find out that he had been arrested 14 times for all sorts of different stuff, including punching a police officer in the face and trying to light a woman on fire. So, I guess, if anything, what we need to learn from this is before... oh, and by the way, someone started a GoFundMe page for him to get a bigger boat, and that had gotten up to over $100,000.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yes. And then they told him yesterday that he was not getting that $100,000 because of his rap sheet. And then he wasn't happy with that now, too. So,
wow.
I guess if you learn anything in the future, it's before you create a cult hero like this.
Yeah, but you know, the amazing, other amazing aspect of this is that they just went to go interview him.
Yeah.
Only because he wasn't going anywhere.
That's right.
And probably wasn't going anywhere because nobody in his life wants him around.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? That's absolutely right. And where if he's got anybody left in his life, because he's had to bounce around, go to different places. You know, he did say something that was true, which was, I didn't ask for any of this. You set this thing up. You know, if you were going to, you're doing this for me, you should have done the background check if you were concerned about that stuff. And now I'm getting screwed out of this whole thing. It's ridiculous. He did kind of say this. Like, I didn't ask for this.
He didn't ask for
like,
it.
Like, I'm just sitting in my boat, and you guys are knocking on my window every 5 seconds.
You know, the amazing thing is that you brought it up here, which made it a huge story around here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously the Post picks it up, and everybody else picks it up. And then the next thing you know, it's like, okay, so let's go take a look at this guy.
14 mugshots.
Whoa.
14 mugshots.
I'm sure there are plenty of people in his life that were hoping that sailboat would never be seen again with him on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just picturing like a woman watching the news and going, look at Joe! They got Joe in the sailboat! Do they know how much of a son of a bitch he is?
That's exactly probably what happened.
Look at this, is unbelievable. Do they know that he tried to light me on fire on that park bench? Probably not. Yeah, so amazing. Just, yeah. That is another one of these unbelievable 2024 stories that could only happen now, where someone who's just sitting in a sailboat gets social media fame and then turns out to be like ultimate 5-star skivots. All right, let's go to, Big Tom DeVito in Cedar Grove. What's going on, Big Tom DeVito? Good morning.
How you doing, guys? Good morning.
We're doing great, man. How are you?
Good, thanks. So as a boy, I was a Dave Kingman Met fan.
Hmm.
But that didn't sit well in my household, friends, family. So for the past 40-something years, I've been a Yankee fan. So this summer, I spent a lot of nights at my friend Vinny's house smoking cigars. He's a Met fan and the Mets are on. And I have to tell you, my turning point was Wednesday night when the Mets and Yankees were on about 2 hours apart. I wouldn't put the Yankees on until after the Met game was over. What a joy to watch this Met team who grabbed me out of nowhere, just watch them over the summer and see if they were going to make the wild card, and then seeing the series against Atlanta and against Milwaukee, against the Phillies. What exciting baseball. Like, I haven't been riveted to baseball like this, and I can't remember. Usually the Yankees, it's Sunday, watch the Yankees on a lazy afternoon, wait till October and watch the same movie. But this Met team, how could the Met fan base not be thrilled with the effort of this team? Any team that scratches and claws deserves the respect of the fan base. And me, they've swung me over. Now, ultimately, I hope for a Subway Series because then I can't lose. Whoever wins, I'll be happy. But I just want to give a shout out to the Met team for their grittiness and their heart. It's must-watch television. It's been terrific.
Yeah, absolutely, and every single Met fan is aboard now. There's no two ways about it, even the most negative, and me being one of those guys who didn't believe in the team throughout the season. I mean, they have proven everybody wrong. It's been spectacular. I mean, the joy that they have provided us is really just, it's insane. I cannot wait for this NLCS.
That's exactly right. I agree, and Tom, I appreciate your honesty. I just hope that is not the same thing that happens with the Jets and the Giants in your life.
Well, listen, sports are unpredictable, right? It's highs and lows. But I just hope that the Met fan base, no matter what happens in the next series and hopefully in the World Series, you never want to kill a team that tries its hardest. The fan base deserves the right to criticize and do whatever they want because that's their right. And, you know, you wouldn't have sports without the fan base. But this team, win, lose, or draw, what more can you ask for than the effort that they put in? I mean, I've never seen a baseball team scratch and crawl like this. Usually if you get hit or you don't, you just see like they're willing themselves to win. Their effort, their heart is just coming out. And I love to see that in sports.
Yeah, big time. And great talking to you. Great hearing from you. I mean, I'm not one of these people that judges the fandom stuff. I'm not going to do that. I know that there are many out there that'll hear that and go, how the hell could you go back and forth? And that's your prerogative. And
there's a lot of people like Tom DeVito.
Right. And big Tom's just one of those guys who's trying to enjoy baseball and getting into it, and that's fine.
You'd be surprised how many people out there are legitimately rooting for both teams.
By the way, I had not seen, had you gotten a stat pack with that Brewers stat in there that CBS Sports Network
did? Yeah, they've shown that.
Yeah, I just must have not seen it before. That is crazy.
Yeah, so the Brewers are the key. They're the linchpin.
So teams to beat Brewers in the postseason all time.
Every single
one has gone to the World Series. That is insanity.
And it goes all the way back to the 1981 Yankees.
That is craziness.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be one of the more bizarre, unlikely things I've ever seen in baseball. Because how many examples are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different examples all the way back to 1981?
Yes.